Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we just heard in our interview with the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, the phrase infrastructure bill came up a lot. And now we're going to get into what that means for Illinois. Last month, President Biden signed the trillion-dollar bipartisan infrastructure plan. This is the hard infrastructure bill, roads and bridges, among other things. Formally, it's called the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, not to be confused with the so-called human infrastructure bill, the Build Back Better plan, which is still being debated in Congress. This infrastructure plan will invest billions of dollars into roads, bridges, ports, power lines, and broadband access. It also directs money towards trains, public transportation, and replacing lead pipes, among other projects. Since the bill's signing, more details have been coming out about what the program will mean for Illinois, namely how much money our state will be receiving and what projects will be taken up. And beyond all that, the legislation also aims to expand access to good-paying blue-collar jobs in the trades, construction, basically. Joining us to talk about all this is Brendan Moore, a reporter who covers Illinois state government for Lee Enterprises, which include the Herald and Review newspaper, and Decatur, and the Pantograph, and Bloomington Normal. Hello, Brendan. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Also with us is Manny Rodriguez, founding executive director of Revolution Workshop, a pre-apprenticeship carpentry program on Chicago's West Side. Hello, Manny. Thank you for joining us as well.
Hello, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, our lines are open for this conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number to call. Do you have a sense of what the infrastructure bill might be doing in your community? What have you seen in your area about either local officials, local media talking about what projects may be coming? Are there any things you hope will be addressed that maybe you haven't heard about yet? Give us a call now, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can always tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21ST Show. So, Brendan, I'm going to begin with you. The big number on this legislation was $1.2 trillion, but that's nationally. What do we know about how much of that Illinois is expected to receive?
So we know kind of what the top line is for Illinois. We don't know exactly where those funds are going to go, but we know that Illinois is going to get about $17 billion from this infrastructure package. And about half of that, about $9.8 billion, is expected to go to federal highway projects, about $1.7 billion for drinking and wastewater infrastructure, $1.4 billion for bridge replacement, then about $4 billion for public transit, about $600 million for airports. And then there's a smaller amount of funds, about $100 million for access expansion to broadband access across the state, and then about $149 million for building out the state's electric vehicle charging network, which I think you were just talking about in the last segment. So there is a lot of funds for a lot of, as you said, these quote unquote hard infrastructure priorities, you know, roads, bridges, airports, and a lot of those key pieces of infrastructure that people rely on day to day to get from place to place.
Can you talk about how this kind of federal money interfaces with state money and, you know, projects that are going on? I mean, back in 2019, as you know, Governor Pritzker signed a $45 billion infrastructure bill here in Illinois. It was called Rebuild Illinois. That's a lot of money for the state, although I understand there's been some reporting recently that it's been kind of slower coming in than expected because the pandemic really put a crimp on gambling tax money in particular. But can you just talk about that interface between state money and federal money and how that works?
Right. So Illinois is pretty uniquely, pretty well positioned for this infrastructure bill because, as you mentioned, the state passed a capital construction plan, Rebuild Illinois, in 2019. They raised the gas tax and expanded casino gaming to fund it. So there are already a lot of projects that are kind of in the queue. The top line number on that project or that plan, I believe, is about $33 billion for from the state. And then I believe there's about an additional $12 billion that came from other sources, matching funds from the federal government. But as anybody, maybe not a lot of people pay attention to IDOT and to what state agencies do. But IDOT has what they call the multi-year plan. It's basically just kind of a planning document that goes 5 to 6 years into the future and kind of plans out, these are the projects we want to do in a certain year. So projects in FY21 that are, shovel ready, that are about to be done are going to be FY21. And then maybe some that are more hypothetical down the line that are priorities, but need funding maybe, 5 years down the line. So the impact of these federal funds, this additional $17 billion, could have the effect of speeding up that timeline, or even getting some of those maybe projects that are not shovel ready, but are shovel worthy, kind of up on the priority list. Senate President Harmon and House Speaker Chris Welch mentioned one project that might be a candidate for that would be the rebuilding of the Eisenhower Expressway up near Chicago. They wanted to give about $2.5 billion towards that. So this will really piggyback off of what's already being done in Illinois, and it'll allow for some of these projects to get done maybe a little bit sooner, and then allow for some of these other priorities that maybe wouldn't get funded. It would allow them to get some funding.
I think you underestimate our smart 21st show listeners, who I'm sure have all downloaded copies of the 5-year IDOT plan under their tablets and are reading them very closely every night before drifting off to sleep. All right, maybe not. Manny, I want to bring you into the conversation now, because you were featured in a recent piece from public radio station WBEZ in Chicago about what this infrastructure bill could mean for diversifying the construction industry. There has been a long push. Those of us who follow Springfield have, for years, members of the Black and Latino caucuses have been pushing the trades in particular to open up more job opportunities to these are good paying jobs, right? You founded an organization that teaches carpentry skills in Chicago's West Side. Can you just talk a little bit about inequities in the trades right now?
Yes. I want to start also by saying, we have a tremendous, I've said this in the piece yesterday, that we have a tremendous opportunity right now to kind of right some of the wrongs of the past 40, 50 years. It is true that our particular sector suffers through a diversity problem. I can't even really give you the exact demographics, because a lot of our trades unions won't share that demographic data with us. But anecdotally, I can tell you that it's somewhere roughly around 85%, 80% to 85% middle-aged white man. And in the Chicago metro area, where we're doing large public scale projects or privately funded projects downtown, those, the makeup of the workers that are doing that are, again, white and from the suburbs. And so when you're talking about a city that is, 2/3 to 70% minority, we need to make sure that these great family sustaining career pathways are equitable and accessible to all people. I think we had said something around 6.5 to 8% of the sector is African American. There's numbers as low as 3.5% to 5% for women. Again, these are just not numbers that are acceptable. And even on the Latino side, Latinos are heavily represented in laborers and carpenters, right? But they're not as represented in some of the other trades, mechanical, electrical, plumbing trades, heavy equipment operators, things of that nature. They're not as represented. And so, again, we got to look at equity. There's a tremendous opportunity. We're talking about $45 billion at the state level. The city of Chicago has also got a capital plan for $3.7 billion. We're talking about, again, large private contracts that are happening right now. The Lincoln Yards project, the 78. This is all going to provide stable opportunity and demand for the next 10 to 15 years. And if we can't figure this out now about how we can open up the gates so that, we have access and equity for all, I don't think we'll ever figure it out. This is a tremendous, opportunity with coming out with the pandemic, with, I think, just our society is all looking at having a racial reckoning, if you will. And then, you know, obviously, you know, this level of investment. And so this is like a perfect storm to really trying to figure it out. And that's really what organizations like mine, Revolution Workshop, Chicago Women in the Trades, you know, we try to meet this gap by taking those that are underserved and providing a mechanism where we can prepare them so that they're safe, so that they understand the culture of construction, and that they're supported once they're placed. Because construction can be a very difficult sector to stay in. And so we want to make sure that these monies not only go to the hard capital of the projects, right? But we also want to have, and that's something I'm very excited about with the federal infrastructure bill, is that there's $80 billion for workforce and workforce initiatives. And that's what we need. We need that level of investment so that organizations like mine and CWIT can really expand and really be able to help more people.
So let me just remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the big bipartisan infrastructure bill, what it means for Illinois. We're speaking with Manny Rodriguez, who's the founding executive director of Revolution Workshop, a pre-apprenticeship carpentry program in Chicago, and Brendan Moore, who covers state government for Lee Enterprises, which has papers in Decatur, Bloomington Normal, and elsewhere. And Manny, we were talking about expanding the trades. You know, I worked as a stagehand, which is not, I guess it's not quite a building trade, but you know, before I was a journalist and, you know, getting on with IA, Local 2, the big union for stagehands in Chicago, there, the joke was 2-question entrance exam. Who's your father? Who's your uncle? And I'm guessing, you know, and I did not have the, you know, additional burdens of, you know, discrimination based on race or ethnicity working against me, but it was impossible even then. How is this money in the infrastructure plan intended to help break down those doors?
Well, I think it really comes down to that we have to be intentional about setting goals around equity and inclusion. And for a long time, there's been some pushback on that, right? I think, you know, our trades, the unions have wanted to have some exclusivity in their membership. And I think that worked fine for them for 40 years when, you know, their sons and nephews and friends wanted to enter the field. I think the challenge that has become and what they're really, you know, kind of faced with now is that for 2 generations, we've told, you know, youth that college is the only way and that construction and manufacturing jobs are not great jobs. And that's just not the case. And that was just, you know, really a blatant lie to 2 generations of kids. And so what has led, the consequence of that has been that you don't have young people filling in the pipelines, right? Wanting to work on these things, work in these fields in these great middle class and family sustaining career pathways. And so we're having to do a lot of information, you know, to the community, to the parents, to make sure that they understand what the real opportunities are here. And then that has opened up the door of opportunity so that we can, you know, bring people that have traditionally been marginalized out. Brian, you talked about who you know. It's so true. They built a system based on nepotism. And when you do that, you're going to have a whole lot of people that look like you. And so we have to make sure that we don't, these pathways are too critical, right? We're talking about, again, very large parts of our community and our city in particular. I can only speak on Chicago. You know, where we have these large inequities. And these, again, are family sustaining career pathways. These are the ways to break cycles of poverty. So these cannot be, you know, just segmented for a certain group of people. We got to break them down. And it really starts with not only the federal government, but the state and local government setting equity goals and enforcing them. And when you know that a contractor or a particular trade union is not doing, not being a good player, then there have to be consequences to that. We can't keep awarding the same contracts to folks that we know don't take DEIA seriously. And so I think it really does set with the goals. It then comes into enforcement. And then it's data, right? We need good data. Right now, the data is closed behind doors. It's not very accessible. We need accessible data. So then that way we can see, okay, well, we're hitting this benchmark here. We're not doing it here. Let's develop a strategy on how we can beef that up. We can't even do that right now. And that is really kind of tying our hands behind our back in terms of really solving this issue. And then, you know, again, I just want to uplift.
Sure.
You've got to support organizations that are really working in the community and really helping folks with barriers to employment overcome those barriers and get access to these jobs.
Brendan, I'm going to take one more pivot in this conversation on infrastructure and talk about something that's of importance to a lot of rural areas in the state, and that is broadband. Can you just talk briefly, and we only have about a minute left, but on what this is expected to do to bring that access to people in farm country in Illinois?
Yeah, so about 100 million, I should say, has been dedicated to expand broadband access across the state in this infrastructure package. This has also been a priority of folks at the state level, and obviously having more federal funds will do a lot towards reaching those goals. Obviously, you know, if you live downstate, you live outside of a major population center, you know, service can be kind of spotty. And obviously, as we know, during the pandemic, you know, we're doing this interview on Zoom now. I mean, it's become a critical piece of infrastructure necessary to function in the 21st century.
Sure.
And so I think that, you know, the fact that it was included in the hard infrastructure package just shows just the level of importance that broadband is now, and how you can't really function without it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can't function without people like you coming on the show and talking with us about what's going on in the world. So we very much appreciate it. Brendan Moore with Lee Enterprises, Manny Rodriguez with Revolution Workshop. We'll continue to follow the infrastructure package. Thank you both so much for being with us today. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.